Reflect on what I tell you. Relax into it, maintain awareness, and find out. Don't allow the thought to tell you anything. Don't go and believe your thought. Where your thought is all memory, knowledge. And this one will keep on telling you things. Where this one is already, they call it the memory bank. And memory bank is what you have accumulated as life, learning, or experiences, all of your knowledge. And knowledge is not wisdom. A knowledgeable person can be intelligent, cunning, shrewd. All these are possible. But they don't have wisdom. You don't believe, you find out yourself. Your wisdom is an understanding, not to entangle yourself and get into trouble. Whereas knowledge is different. Knowledge acts in a different manner. Well, when you have knowledge, you think you know. You think you are right. Then knowledge ends up arguing, trying to be right. The ego is still there. The mundane mind, the egoic mind, is like strengthened. Whereas the one with wisdom, he understands all this and it does not go after all this anymore. It is in a state of relaxed inner awareness that it can accord and flow, that it can see things as they are, it can accept the reality of the moment, then it will know how to act. Act with what? Wisdom, not memory. Means the Dhamma way. He will apply Noble Eightfold Path. Right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action. No more of those heedless reaction and stirring of mind. The mind is seldom or hardly agitated. That is wisdom. Knowledge cannot. Knowledge, like you're very good, you're very intelligent, very smart, you have a lot of knowledge, and you think this is understanding. No. That's why knowledge bind, the Buddha says. Knowledge can create attachment, can create conflict, argument, misunderstanding. Because with knowledge, you tend to develop the ego to be right, understand not? To be more superior, better, and all this. So meditation, awareness base, is to allow you to have the awareness to see yourself in action. In line. Then when you see yourself in action like that, you come to know this form of mind. Before you know the Dhamma, before you have the wisdom and the understanding, you act according to memory. And what is memory? Actually, memory, you really have the mindfulness and the awareness, is full of negative mind state. I call it rubbish. Rubbish because you accumulate all of your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your phobia, your scars of memory, your insecurity, your like and dislike. And all of the whatever, even childhood phobia or whatever, all these are accumulated. Then what you do, how you cheat people and how people cheat you, bully you, become aggressive towards you. You accumulate them as fear, phobia, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation. So all these are very negative memory, negative tendency. The Buddha called them wrong thought, born of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So when you act according to your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, you are not acting at all. Because these are all wrong thoughts, evil mind state. Then before you have the Dhamma, you are egoic. Sakkayaditi is there, egoic. So the egoic mind always has selfishness, has craving, desire, grasping, clinging, attachment. So you act according to all this mind state, which are not wisdom or understanding, then you entangle yourself in life, because karma is you reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. So all this negativity of mind state that spring off from your memory, accumulated memory, good or bad or whatever, they are still within the field of thought, having duality. And before you have the Dhamma wisdom, means before you are enlightened, this thought process is always egoic. It cannot be a pure thought. That's why the fifth patriarch call it tinted merit. Don't go after tinted merit. Do good according to what? Your views, your opinion, your belief system. You think that it's good. But you never ask, good according to who? Good according to you. But it's not nature's good. Nature's good is the one that has the Dhamma, means no negativity. Where you are incapable of negativity, you are automatically good, understand? That's why the Buddha's advice is avoid all evil. You can avoid all evil, you cannot do evil, isn't it? All evil has been avoided. So the absence of evil is good. Not the other way around, understand? Not good according to the individual. Good according to me, to you, no meaning. This is our individual perception of good, our belief system, our conditioning. But when it is something you do in accordance with nature's law, then the manifestation will be in accordance with nature's law. Good or bad, not defined by us, by nature. Because this nature's law that governs life and existence, the Pancha Niyama, governs everything. Like we used to say, don't try to do good. The trying is by the thought which is egoic. And the egoic mind cannot do good. Understand? So always develop the training to avoid evil. That's why Krishnamurti also say the absence of evil is good. The Buddha say, avoid all evil. Sabba papasa akarana. Same meaning. How to avoid all evil? Develop mindfulness, to be mindful, to be aware, to be heedful. Then the Buddha said, I undertake the training rule to abstain from killing, stealing, misappropriating, sexual misconduct, all those things. How you train your mind to do this? You must have mindfulness to be aware. Aware of what is going on. How anger arises, how greed arises, how selfishness arises, how it conditions you into negativity, like to kill and to harm through your evils or selfishness, anger, hatred. So all this, when you start to see, then you start to inquire and reflect. As a living being, my life, I hold the key to my own life destiny. If I don't have this understanding, if I act negatively with the delusion and the evil, I will fall. I will develop karmic negativity. Then I will be entangled. Then my life, like the Buddha said, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, will be the outcome. And in the teaching, Dhammapada was 1 and 2, the Buddha said it very clearly. He said, our mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is she. Where mind arise, all things arise. Both verse 1 and 2 say, if you know this, he said, if you act, speak, and think with a heedless mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, what will happen to you? Suffering will follow you. Like the wheel that follow the ox of the car. You don't have to believe the Buddha. You go and find out. Do you act, speak, and think with a heedless mind with the evil roots? Means you don't train yourself to be mindful, to be aware, and you don't train yourself to understand what constitutes evil, then how come it conditions negativity of karma, evil deeds, that brings about evil effect? That how it conditions the individual suffering. So all this is very clear. Then the Buddha under Dhammapada verse 2, he say the same thing. Mind is a forerunner of all things. Mind is chi. When mind arise, all things arise. Therefore, take care mind. So he said, if you were to train your mind to be aware, to be mindful, to be heedful, then you act with the Dhamma understanding, free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Happiness will follow you, like your shadow that never leaves you. So this is the teaching, Anasana. Without mindfulness, without awareness, you cannot undertake the training rule to be aware and to avoid all evil. Do good, purify the mind. So the teaching, when you understand, become different. It's no more a knowledge. It's something that you understand, you cannot act according to memory anymore. Can you all follow? This part is not easy to understand, because since birth until now, most of you, without the Dhamma understanding, before you awaken, your only instrument to act is your thought, and it's always at the memory. You don't believe me, you check. You are always up here. And you know, my last guide said, when you are here, before you become enlightened, that is hell. You are in hell, creating all the heedless thinking, the evil roots and everything. You may have some form of goodness or wholesomeness, but these are tinted merit, not pure merit. Pure merit means free of all the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So maybe through your knowledge, you have Dhamma knowledge, where you say, I must keep my precept. I cannot cheat, I cannot kill. Okay. But there is knowledge, understand? You don't see it in the meditation, in the awareness. You didn't observe the nature's law of karma, how it hit back and how it conditioned living beings to suffer. So based on knowledge, you act. Or people say, donate, be generous, meritorious. No denial. Yes, meritorious. But what is your mindset? The ego is still there. You understand? No? That's why it's called tinted merit. It's merit. But with sakayadity, you understand? No? You do good because people say so from you. Yeah. Then you use your intelligence, your knowledge, your thought, and act. So you act not according to wisdom. You act because you say, this will benefit me. You understand? Yeah, I receive good merits, understand? That I receive good merit is like the emperor at that time. When Bodhidharma was there, he said he donated the temple, the monk, the translation, everything. He said, how much merit have I developed? He expect Bodhidharma to say, oh, okay, or emperor, you have developed a lot of merit. You know, Bodhidharma replied, zero. The emperor was so unhappy, but he cannot say out because Bodhidharma was a patriot, a very wise being. You know why he said that? Well, later on, he checked with another monk who understand. He said, yeah, he is right. Well, to him, as an enlightened being, what is true merit, pure merit? It's the absence of three evils of greed, hatred, and delusion. You do all this thinking that you will receive a lot of merit, means what? It's tinted because the ego is there. You think you do, this merit accrue to you. That sakayadity, that self, actually make the merit less wholesome. That's why they call it tinted. Tinted with the ego inside there. So tinted merit will always be there when you are not enlightened. But when you awaken, become enlightened, your merit is pure merit. Then this brings me to one point that I want you to understand. If you do awareness-based meditation, do you know if you can even stabilize it and have one moment of pure awareness without thought? That is a pure mind, a pure thought without the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And that pure consciousness and thought, it is way beyond all of your tinted merits that you have done maybe for hundreds and hundreds of life. Cannot compare to one pure thought of a cultivator. Do you understand? That's why, not to say merits are not important, but as long as it's tinted merit, you have to do alone, understand? Whereas the one that cultivate and meditate awareness, because he can have a moment of pure thought. That moment of pure thought is so rare, understand? And the merit is, the Buddha called it limitless. So all this understanding will lead you to the point that you must develop the faith to cultivate this awareness within. That's why do it. Even if you can have it for a moment, a glimpse of it is good enough. Need not go through cessation. But that one moment of pure thought without any what they call evil roots inside there, those moments are very rare. Then cultivator of the way they have stabilized is throughout the day, they are in that pure state of mind, the true mind, the pure nature within. Just imagine, that's why to them, they are not really very, very interested in the normal type of worldly, I should say, merits. They were not like purposely want to donate, want to offer or what. If there is no condition, they don't have to do all those things anymore. Understand? But when there is condition, they still manifest, they still make offering, they still rejoice, they still help people. That is what the understanding is. So when you truly understand, what you do without understanding and with understanding is world apart, totally different. Okay?